Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Todd Haley with a little bit of Greg Williams in him. Also, Ed on Twitter. Ken, man, you're delusional. Your Bronx scenario sounds good. However, filling it with ifs and buts tells me we're about to get kicked in the...
Uh-oh.
Ah, there we go. All right, great.
You rhymed it?
So the next 3 hours, I'm just gonna put on a sad bastard face, and that's going to be the end of it. All right?
No,
ready?
I'll
just say for the next 3 hours. There's no reason to listen.
The Browns absolutely showed you enough in the opener that you should have some confidence. Now, you also know what a tough challenge this is, and for that Saints team to be 0-2 after two games with home games, you know, they're obviously going to be as hungry as they're going to be to try to get that victory.
I'm not saying, Jonathan Wells with us, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a massive upset. It'd be a huge upset. But if you get a game like this, I think it could change the entire complexion or change the way they feel about their own franchise just to get themselves a win, especially if you did it over a team that it's a 9-point underdog. You are not expected to win this game. I don't think I'm saying – I'm not trying to fill anybody with any crazy visions of grandeur. Jonathan, I'm just trying to say upsets do happen. If you win this game, I think it changes the complexion for how you feel about the rest of the season. They could go out there and lay an egg next Thursday, but I'm just pointing out that you would go into – would you or would you not go into that game with more confidence?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Listen, if this franchise is going to make the turn and to make the next step – you're going to have to start upsetting teams in the NFL. It's not like you could just come out here and just beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You have to be able to be competitive and win games you're not supposed to win if you want to get over that hump. So, I mean, they got to go out there and find a way to get it done, in my opinion.
Did you take any solace from the tie?
I hated it. I didn't have a voice for 2 days. I hated it. I was distraught. I'm like, you're supposed to win this game, period. And for them not – I know that felt like a loss to them. They can say whatever they want to say. They were supposed to win that game, especially with the interception. I mean, the football guys were on their side. Like, how can you lose this game? I know that was disappointing in the locker room, period.
What I'm pointing out is that, and Lyman knows me very well, and to know that there's times where I've poured sugar on myself just to get through seasons thinking that, okay, they're building towards something and believing something that just ain't there. And for all we know, I mean, good God, the tweet I just read, maybe I'm trying to believe something that just ain't there again. But I've just gotten so tired of moral victory and fighting for moral victories and saying, well, you can build upon this, you can do that. It's like, man, you're going to have to get over the hump at some point. And I can't keep saying no one keeps a job because they got close.
No.
You keep a job because you win.
Not in this league.
And so I got to hold – if they're going to hold themselves to a standard knowing that the clock's always going to tick, and if they're going to hold themselves to a standard, I need to hold them to a standard as well as a fan and as an analyst.
Yeah, well, obviously this is my – second week on the show with you guys. So, once again, thanks for having me. But last week, I think I voted as a homer because I really want to see these guys do well. But moving forward, I'm going to vote with my mind.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to be a homer. I love Cleveland. I love Ohio. I bleed everything scarlet and gray, obviously. But I'm going to just analyze the game, and they're going to have to prove to me before I start making these type of picks.
Well, I'll let you in on the secret. Day of, you're allowed to – because
oh, we can flip. Oh, yeah, last week.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah, I mean, Friday you might get a little bit more of an honest answer out of people. But on Sunday, especially the home games, you're at the tailgate where you go tell people right in front of them.
Right.
Hey, man, we're going to get beat by 30. Like, no, you're not going to do that.
But honestly, I really and truly thought they could beat Pittsburgh. Like I said, I was at the first game last year, and they could have won. They should have won that game. It was 21-18. They was right there for that one.
Yes.
So I thought that, okay, we got all this talent. We got a new quarterback. We got the guru Todd Haley at the offensive coordinator. I really thought that they could beat Pittsburgh, and they showed that they could. But, you know, for whatever reason, they just didn't get it done.
Jonathan Wells is studio with us. He'll do this each and every week for the entire hour. So tell me what you thought was wrong with that offense, because if Myles Garrett and that defense doesn't make a few incredible plays, they're on the verge of getting blown out there in the fourth quarter, thanks to that offense.
The offense in the first half was anemic. Let's be clear. I mean, I think I looked at the stats, the total stats in the end of the second quarter. They had like 62 total yards or something crazy. And I just don't think that you can go out and make Terai throw the ball 40 times in the rain for all of that. You have to try to run the ball. Now, did I think that they could just line up and run the ball down Pittsburgh's throat the whole game? Absolutely not. But I don't think that Tyrod is a type of quarterback that you can have throwing the ball 40, 45 times a game and expect to be successful.
Well, I also think – 40 times is excessive. I understand that. But there's also going to be a point where you got to be able to do what I want you to do. And I don't think that – when you have Ben Roethlisberger back there, I know it's a different set of circumstances, but I do want to have confidence in a guy that to be able to push the football when I need to push the football. And as the game went on, I know that he's not what the other guys – what the leading guys are in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacking. But I do want to at least feel I have a shot to push the football down the field and to put myself in a position at the end of regulation until the interception. And at the end of the game, what there was an interception with Joe Schobert there at the end of the game. But I didn't feel that confidence of, yep, they're going to move the ball down the field. We can get ourselves in real good field goal range with the offense and be able to win this football game.
I kind of disagree there because I think after they got down 21-7, I think that, you know, they got into a little bit of an up-tempo offense. They moved the ball down the field. He was able to lead them down to, you know, tie the game up at the end of regulation with Josh Gordon. So I think that he got better as the game progressed. First half, terrible. But he got better as the game progressed. And that happens. This is the first game. It is what it is. So I'm not going to make a real assessment on Terod until after this week. He has perfect conditions in a dome against a defense that just gave up 48 points to Ryan Fitzpatrick. So go out there, make some big plays, and be competitive and put your team in a position to win this game coming down the stretch.
So, by the way, I might be willing to go back on this. Does this turn out that Hugh was right?
About
game three? About Philadelphia and putting him back in? He needed all the reps he can get? I understand it might be at the peril. You say it might be at the peril of the guy, but if the quarterback feels he can go back in, and obviously if he needed reps because it's new, just like what Jonathan said.
Hold on. I saw Case Keenum on a new team with not all that many reps and be just fine. I've seen guys, he's a veteran. This is somebody who's almost 30 years old who, if you can't expect him to go out there and do that, I get it. There's going to be a learning curve. But you also have to expect your veteran quarterback that you traded a third-round pick to be able to handle certain stuff. That's why you're starting him.
Fine, but I'd still like to be right about this, so I guess I don't want to fight you on it that badly. But I got one guy over here telling me that, well, you needed more time with the guy. Everybody's got to gel. And that was part of the explanation why things went to hell. And then over here, well, you're telling me the same thing with, well, wait a minute, what are you telling me over here?
I don't know if that's exactly what I said.
Maybe
I might have alluded to that, but I'm not giving that as an excuse.
Okay.
At all. My thing is, I think that they just got off track. You come out, you throw the ball 11 straight times. Like, that's not his style of offense. Come on. I blame Todd Haley. We brought the guru, Todd Haley, here, right? Because he's supposed to be one of the top offense coordinators in the NFL.
Jonathan
right?
must have been listening in the first hour because
I blame Todd Haley. Then this is the same guy I'm listening all day yesterday. Everybody's calling up here. They're ready to anoint him the next head coach. For what? You can't even get the offense going. So what are we talking about head coach with him for?
Well, I thought at times, Jonathan, he got confused and thought Big Ben was his quarterback based on some of the plays I saw.
Stop it. Right. He's not getting a pass from me. Get the offense going. You got talent. You got receivers. You got running backs. There's no excuse for Todd Haley not to be able to move the offense. So this week, I'm expecting to see a drastic improvement without the weather conditions, period.
Do they not? And we're joined by Jonathan Wells in studio. We got him for the whole hour. As you're about to light up the phones here.
Wow.
People calling in if you have questions, too. 216-578-0092. We talked about that running game going into the game. Now, I know they didn't get the big chunks that they wanted. They had one out of Carlos Hyde. They had one out of Nick Chubb. And they had one nice run out of Duke Johnson. Other than that, it was way below average. Do you think they needed to stay committed? Or were you just not going to be able to run the ball against that front of the Steelers?
I can't say that because at one point, I saw in the middle of the third quarter when they went on the long drive, Carlos Hyde had about 13 carries for about 70 yards. The guy was averaging about 5 yards a carry. So he wasn't getting shut out until maybe after that point.
So what you're telling – Wait.
Go ahead.
You're telling me about Carlos Hyde being able to run the football.
Right.
You're telling me about Tyrod. See, I might have taken it into place there, and I'm sorry. I might have inferred something there that I thought you were insinuating you weren't.
Okay.
Are you saying maybe we would have lost this? Todd Haley's taking it as a loss here. We lost this, or we didn't. We tied this game. That if this was left in better hands, or if Todd Haley would have made better decisions, I should say, that it'd be 1-0 right now instead of 0-1.
I'm not going to give. Listen, it was a team loss. Okay? All I'm saying is they were running the ball fine in the third quarter. I'm telling you the stats that I saw. I looked at the game. Mm-hmm. They were running the ball. They were averaging about 4.55 yards a carry at that point in the game. We continued to throw the ball. They put themselves in position to tie the game up. And then Tyrod makes a bad throw going in to potentially, you know, do what he has to do on the interception. So, you know, I'm not gonna jump over anybody's back over week one. But once again, Todd Haley, get the offense going. That's all I'm saying.
Might have got worked into a shoot, not Jonathan talking about Todd Haley. 216-578-0092. They're getting in. We'll get to you. Also, remember, after the show, I think Lyman and I are gonna do a Facebook Live for everybody. So you might want to go over there and like 923thefan.com or not like 923thefan on Facebook because we might be doing a Facebook Live. Jonathan Wells joining us in studio. Todd Haley, rightfully so, getting a little bit of heat. I like it this morning as we get ready for the New Orleans Saints. I almost said St. Louis Rams. My God. For the New Orleans Saints. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima live on the Fan. Hey, about 10:15 after the show, Lima and I are going to be on Facebook Live answering all those questions. I can't wait. Live is a little bit apprehensive, but I'm looking forward to it. Come on.
I'm excited about it.
On Twitter. So, yeah, make sure you get to us, 92.3 The Fan on Facebook. Facebook Live about 10:15, somewhere in there.
Any question?
I mean, it's basically a post-week press conference, so, yeah, I mean, anything you want. You're the one who thought of it the other day. I went, that's a good-ass idea.
I'm making sure. If you're going to be answering any question that the listeners want to send to you, they can ask you anything.
There's got to be times where it's like a mad after a show, like Lima really makes me angry at the end of the show, so I have to be like a mad coach, or at times jovial, and so maybe I'll be short with people over that time.
Yeah, I don't think this would be something that we would schedule every week. This might be something that just spur of the moment, like if something at the end of the show like blows up and we don't have enough time.
Of course, it being the internet, so there's no dump button, so I can't imagine the questions that we're going to be asked, but we'll get it figured out coming up later on this morning at 10:10. So if you're in work and you're a little bit bored because it's a Friday, well, go on over there to the Facebook page and get ready because I'm sure it's going to get hot and heavy very, very quickly. Jonathan Wells joining us in studio, heated with Todd Haley and what he did last week, and then getting ready for this week. I mean, hey, it's the truth. Don't throw the arms up. You were upset.
I want better. I want more.
That's okay. You're allowed
more.
To demand that.
I want more.
You know, I'm fine with that because I think we get trapped in this thing of, hey, you know, I can understand both sides because I made this argument the entire time with the Browns. Now, this is big picture and we're getting ready for the Saints, so I'll try to be brief here. Is that when it was going down between him and Sashi and then they let Sashi go, the Sashi war started with everybody in Browns fans. I'm going, hey, one hand washes the other. You can't put it all on Hugh and you can't put it all on Sashi. And then when Todd Haley comes in here, everybody just wants to anoint him as the next guy. And I go, it's just not going to be perfect with anybody out there.
No.
So
man,
you can't just say that he's going to be the savior all of a sudden where I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I have to agree with you in what you're saying here. You're not putting them in the right position to start off that football game.
Let's not jump off the deep end. Like I said, let's give him another week or two and we'll know better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just thought that, you know, you got to know a great coach knows his personnel. This was a great thing about Jim Trestle. He knew his personnel. If he had Craig Krenzel, we're going to play defense. We're going to punt the ball, and that's what we're going to do. You got Troy Smith, we're going to score 50 points a game. Mm-hmm. So when people come with the Trestle ball, I'm like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. But so you got to know your personnel. This kid has never thrown the ball 40 times probably in his life. And you come out the first game of the year and throw the ball 40 times, and it's not like you got down 21-0 early. It was 7-7
going
into halftime.
Yeah, you're in that game.
That's all I'm saying.
Jonathan Wells is studio with us. What's the difference between game one and game two in terms of prep, having film now of a team's actual game as opposed to preseason and maybe games from last year? Because I heard Todd Haley say it himself, 28 miscues in week one, and you need about 10 in a winning performance.
I agree there. I mean, I think, listen, every week they should get better. Every week they should get better. Like I said, Tyrod, I'm sure he has some nerves going on. His first start, a lot of pressure on his shoulders to try to keep his starting job. I think they will get better this week. This is not a top five, top 10 defense they're going against this week. They have to be able to go down there and put up 28 to 35 points if they want to have a shot to win this game. And I'm looking forward to seeing if they could do that. I'm not losing faith in them, but listen, Todd, we got to get better. Put these guys in position. Get the ball to Josh Gordon. Come on. Make your playmakers. Give them a shot to make plays.
Well, Lima brought this up yesterday. I totally agreed with him. This could be the biggest game of Tyrod Taylor's career. right now because you have this game, and then within 4 days, I think you're automatically on Monday, you had people starting to knock on our door going, all right,
yeah,
what's going on here? And then if you go down there, I eliminate the weather, and that was one great big excuse and,
yes.
and really an explanation.
Yes.
But you get rid of the weather. Now you've had a little bit. You've had a game to work with each other, a full game. If you don't go down there and play well, I can't. You know, people go, well, you guys always talk about the quarterbacks. I'm not going to be able to stop you from talking quarterbacks on Monday morning about that.
You know, I think it's unfortunate for him, but it's fair. You got the number one draft pick sitting on the sideline. I mean, if you don't go down there and start to play, I mean, a lot better, then people are going to want your head. Most people didn't want you to start anyway. Let's be clear from what I'm getting in the phone calls. Nobody really wanted them to start for the most part. So you got to go out there and bring it this week and next week. If you want to make it to week six, you better get out there and make some plays.
What I'm worried about is that you made this abundantly clear this was going to be long terms in terms of the season. Then all of a sudden, I'm left with nothing here. If he goes out there and he plays poorly on Sunday, I'm going to have to fight him off at the door about on Thursday, turning around on Thursday, which would be crazy. Or for a guy who didn't have any first-team reps, and then if they go out there and they lay some sort of an egg with the Jets, forget about even just him. We're talking about Hugh Jackson after that. You already see this thing starting to roll down the hill. And I got to try to stop this because no matter what, you might not think much of Tyrod Taylor or Hugh Jackson right now, but if Baker ain't ready to go, then damn it, he ain't ready to go. I'm not trying to put him out there even on 10 days against the Oakland Raiders to get ready for that game.
I mean, you know, what I saw from Baker was good stuff when he played against the guys who were at home with us, the guys who were at the tailgate, the guys who we played against second and third team in the preseason. I thought he was great.
They did come to our tailgate.
Yeah,
you're
thought,
right. They weren't on the football field on Sunday.
I thought he was great. But what I saw, because I paid attention, that third game when Tyrod went out with the wrist injury and he got thrown into there against that first team defense, he looked like a deer in the headlight guy. It moves a lot faster when you're playing against the starters. And that's preseason. Regular season is another two steps up. And playoffs is even worse. So I'm just not convinced that, you know, he's going to be that great now. Maybe so. I could be wrong. But I hope they can get through this season without having to throw Baker in the fire. Let him sit back and learn. And then I think he'll have a much better shot at being competitive and being a good football player next year.
Jonathan Wells with us in studio. We have some questions here on the phones. We'll get to them here in just a second. Your thoughts overall, offensive line, you start an undrafted free agent who had his issues with a few penalties. Kenny says what he saw, he got a little better in the second half, but that's a formidable front you go up against. And this week, you want to talk about some guys on that front line again who can really cause some problems. Cameron Jordan, he had 13 sacks last year, silent in week one in terms of sack total, so you know he's going to be chopping at the bit. What did you see?
I just didn't even like the whole situation with them going into the season and not having the offensive line fixed and still throwing things up against the wall and hoping it stick. I think Desmond played. He played okay. It's his first start, man. It's a tough position. I got to give the kid more time. I can't beat him down for his first NFL start. He barely played any college football at all. So he's a project. But like I said before, with him being a project, your quarterback is going to have to take, you know, the lessons for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's hope Tyrod can stay healthy and we don't have to throw Baker in the fire too early.
Buckeyes TCU coming up on Saturday. Tomorrow we'll talk about it at 7:45. Let's get to the phones. 216-578-0092. Cool Ray in Bedford. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Hey, cool.
Hey, man, I'm gonna keep it real. Y'all so hard up to see Baker Mayfield. It is a shame. I mean, like you guys.
Who you talking to, Ray? Who's that for?
The whole city. I mean, the whole city. Like every year. They draft a quarterback every year. That's all they talk about. And they try to find fault where there is no fault. It was a bad game. They can't look at this.
Cool, Ray, no fault. There was no fault with Tyrod. Did you see 15-40? Did you see what he did? If they had average quarterback play in that game, they win. Average quarterback play, they win that game.
Guess what? Look at Gift Horse in the Mouth. For 19 years, y'all couldn't beat Pittsburgh. They didn't beat y'all. You didn't beat them. Y'all didn't lose. It's like, you can't. This man, listen. All quarterbacks, the only job a quarterback has is to put his team in a position to win. It was it. The kicker, the field position, everything was there. Jay didn't do it.
I'm allowed to expect my quarterbacks to also help me win games. He did nothing to help them win that game.
Then you guys had a guy on the show yesterday say, there's a couple of throws that Baker would have made. But yeah, but what about the pressure that Pittsburgh would have put on? What about the throws that he would have possibly threw I didn't make. This is a plus. It's going to get better. You guys are going. The Browns have one of the toughest schedules in the league. It's going to get better. Get this guy a room to breathe. Do you know how hard it would be to come to work and everybody in the city? And don't act like the Browns are not listening to the fans and anything like that or start sports announcers. Do you know how hard it is to come to work and everybody wants you to fail so they can put a rookie in?
Nobody wants to. Who wants them to fail?
He's got
to
deal with that.
They're professionals. They're paid to deal with it.
You're saying exactly what I've been saying the whole week, bro. I am not a fan of throwing Baker out there. I've said that numerous times. Right. I want to ride to have his shot. But at the end of the day, he's making $16 million, my guy. You gotta make plays when it's time to make plays, and I think he's going to get better. I'm not throwing him under the bus whatsoever. I'm with you here.
Listen, he's going to make his plays. Tyrod Taylor is a playoff is a Pro Bowl quarterback with a playoff experience. I've heard so many times they go
Baker wasn't good playoff experience.
But guess what? Mm-hmm. It's playoff experience, something the Browns have never had. So.
Check.
I hear you guys on the radio go, Baker Mayfield has a better upside. So what now? Nah, he's a Super Bowl quarterback
Ray, come on. Now, you got to go. Because you've been sitting there, you listen to every single show every single damn day. So if you've actually heard it, you got to hear me. You can't just say you're listening to me, and you got to actually listen, okay? Because I've said it this entire time, I want Tyrod Taylor to start, and I still get Cool Ray yelling at me about, well, you've been saying you want Baker Mayfield to start. No, it's not about that. You said it yourself on Monday. Even though there's heat with Tyrod Taylor, you wanted Baker Mayfield, to sit again, getting ready for this game and into the future.
We are not talking about Baker Mayfield right now. So you're not hearing what you think you're hearing. We're talking about Tyrod. We're evaluating what we saw out of Tyrod.
Damn. I'm going to take the defense of Ray because I know what he means. As I listened to the radio yesterday and the fans and the city and the energy of the city, dude, that's all they talk about is Mayfield. He would have did this. You don't know what he would
have
did.
You have no idea. He's the number one overall pick. That's going to happen, and that's why they got Tyrod, because they thought Tyrod could handle this. So we need Tyrod to handle this.
It's just the same thing. You cannot tell me, and I got to say, Ken, you're being sensationalist here. No, I'm not. Last week I said it was a must win. Was it or was it not a must win for Hugh Jackson? Because if they would have won that game, how many people are calling for Hugh Jackson's ass on Monday
everybody.
Morning?
Everybody.
If they would have won that game,
everybody.
People are calling for Hugh Jackson.
There's a hate for Hugh Jackson I've never seen in this city. I listened to the radio for 12 hours yesterday. Everybody wants Hugh Jackson's head.
If you go out
stop
there
listening
and
to the radio
you
so much.
Beat Pittsburgh, if you beat Pittsburgh,
doesn't matter.
Dude, if you beat Pittsburgh, you're telling me some people go.
I heard some people yesterday say if they went 8-8, they still want Hugh's head.
That's just you can't talk to those people. I'm talking about the majority of fans.
These are your fans calling in.
You're telling me that the majority of fans wouldn't look at it and go, hey, okay,
no,
maybe they'll give him a shot.
I don't think so.
To beat Pittsburgh week one?
I don't think so.
To beat Pittsburgh.
Not with Hugh. Hey, maybe another coach. Not with Hugh. These people are done with Hugh Jackson.
Jonathan, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they'd have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think some people would go, okay, maybe I'll give him a shot.
5%.
No, I still think a lot of people would have done that.
95% want Hugh's head in Cleveland.
If I'm wrong, Lyman, you tell me.
I mean, look, when you beat the Steelers in this world, the way that this town is, they're ready to cling to any victory at all.
Thank you. I'm not saying he's Teflon. He's not John Gotti over there, but he'd want you. Come on now.
I'm not
you
agreeing.
You
can't flip me here.
But then going into this one, I know we get back to the phones. Going into this one, if Tyrod Taylor goes out and plays well against New Orleans, you don't even got to win. If Tyrod Taylor goes out, because it's a 9-point underdog going in. If he plays well, hey, okay, played well. We saw what he did, and we can relax a little bit.
No.
And we can keep Baker on the bench.
No. Listen.
Wow, this is incredible.
And Tyrod are in the same boat, and people in Cleveland want them to go fishing yesterday. Period. I'm just telling you what listening
to. It's like The Godfather. Someone's got to row the boat back. You can't just leave it out there in the in Lake Tahoe.
If it's up to public opinion, these guys are done. I don't care if they go 12-5. They're out of here.
I don't know if you're necessarily hearing a majority. You're hearing a very vocal minority.
I heard the ones you guys put on the radio.
But these are callers. I don't think that's the actual.
We're not calling them.
Majority.
They're calling us. We're not calling
that's
them.
That's my point. This is talk radio. You're letting them talk.
But if you go through
the
this.
Point.
I think if you were to go to the majority of people,
I don't know.
I think a lot of them would have said
they want
play Tyrod.
Okay, maybe for Tyrod, but Hugh, they want Hugh's head on a platter.
I think it could be 50-50 if he'd have beat beating the Steelers. Let me get to Jim in Strongsville. Jim, you're next up on the Fan.
Well, this is just first up. Jonathan, are you really defending a coach that's won one game in 2 years?
He is.
Yeah, I want his head. The guy's won one game. Any other team, any other sport, any other league, any level, he'd be gone already. So, yeah, we want his head. The guy's won one game. He's historically bad.
What did he inherit, my guy? Did he inherit the New England Patriots? Did I wake up in Massachusetts? I woke up in Cleveland, right? So he woke up to the youngest team, no talent. What do you want him to do in 1 year, my guy? Please explain it to me.
2 years.
Doesn't matter. Nobody can flip it. You guys talking about Sean McVay. Dude, that's a one-in-a-million chance. Nobody can come into Cleveland and turn this franchise around in 2 years, period.
So nobody could have won more than one game.
Not with the talent they had, no. Players, coaches, no, you get off the line. You get off the line. I do this. I do this.
It is 8, no. 7:30.
I do this. You get off the line. What I'm telling you is, until you give me some talent, you bring in a general manager who's talking about analytics. Oh, analytics don't matter in football. Get out of here with that. What are you talking about? Y'all know who you thought you called here talking to. You got the wrong one this morning, my guy.
I thought this would be a call-in on NPR for Jonathan Wells to take some thoughts and perspective.
I kind of wish Jonathan could leave the room and no one could listen. Can we get Evan Silva on the air next week for Jonathan?
Have fun with that one.
Because Jonathan will end up saying cuss words.
Have them duke it out over Sashi Brown.
Let me get to – we got a minute here. Let me get to Ron and Wesley. Ron, you're next up on the Fan.
How you guys doing?
Hi, Ron.
I'm kind of afraid to talk at this point.
You can get some, too. I got a lot for everybody who wants to call. Let's go.
So here's the thing. I'm on board with you, all right? The Browns have sucked for, the past 16 years. How many times has the Steelers beat us? How many games have we won? The Steelers, we finally tied the Steelers. And I hate to say finally, but we played competitive football. I can't remember the last time we were able to come back. Normally, everyone that I talked to, they all said, when they went down by 14, I left. I went home or I went back to the bar or whatever. I want to give Tyrod Taylor a chance. Hugh Jackson, I seriously think that even if we have a losing season this year, he'll be back again next year.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Well,
until he catches syphilis.
Ron!
Jeez Louise.
We'll explain that to you at a later time and date.
He doesn't
know. He has no idea what that's all about. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I watch a lot of Lifetime movies, and that's one of my favorites.
You're part of the show now. Congratulations.
Wow.
Welcome to the family.
I don't even know how to respond to that when you got me there.
Well, now it's just turned into people either against you or for Hugh, because that's what we wanted to turn it
Man,
into.
Man, they want Hugh head on the platter. First of all, you was mad when he was trying to call the plays. Now that he got the great Todd Haley, you're still blaming him for the offense. He was going to get blamed for everything.
People don't want to fire a
you
coach.
You can't get blamed for offensive tackle who's been playing in the NFL for jumping off sides. Dude, you've been playing football long enough. Stay on sides. How about let's blame the players.
We got Daryl Ryder at 8:25 coming up next. More of this and Ohio State TCU, but there's no juice for tomorrow night's games. Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima live on the Fan. Well, back on the Fan. Daryl Ryder going to join us at 8:25.
Tell you the conversation did not stop just because we turned off the mics. We were reading some of the tweets. People either love you or they hate you. That's normally a pretty good sign.
Yeah, we got
to
get
down. Only way to be.
We got to get down to the business about it. Now, it turned into a hate you or love you thing. Where again, I just feel if you would have beaten Pittsburgh, 21-7, I think that there would have been a lot of people go, well, they did fire Sashi, they changed around this whole roster, and they won. And Hugh Jackson was definitely doing some things wrong. And so you can't defend 1-31. I'm not defending 1-31.
Who is?
No one's defending 1-31. But if you were looking at this without Sashi Brown before, I think people would have gone, well, one's still our head coach, one's no longer with the organization. They've changed around the roster. John Dorsey has told you exactly what he thinks of the job Sashi Brown did. People would have gone, okay. Now, you're right. There's some people who have said, no, he's a problem. Get rid of him. It's a nasty taste. But I think that some people would have gone, hey, you did beat the Steelers. I'm willing to give him a shot. I'm sorry, I'm convinced.
You're not flipping me once again.
That's fine.
I think there's a 20% chance, up to, according to the fans, that this man should keep his job. Like I said, I heard people say, I don't care if he goes to the playoffs.
But, John, let me ask you this question, because I brought it up over the last few days, because Kenny's like, you shouldn't root against Hugh because it means you want your team to lose. But I will say, the Rams, they win four games that final year with Jeff Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
There are no Rams fans saying, man, I wish for stability's sake, Fisher would have won 7 or 8 games, and then we don't have Sean McVay. Like, what if this is the coach to get us to the next coach?
Well, I mean, the problem in the NFL now is you don't get a chance to do that. He didn't take over a decent organization. He didn't take over a team that was talented and, you know, won this and won that. He took over a bottom feeder in the league. Are we just going to be honest here? So we just don't think he's going to come here miraculously in 2 years and flip this organization to playoff status?
You're talking about Hugh?
Yeah.
He did say Hugh Jackson is here, baby. Was his words.
Who?
Hugh Jackson said that. He said that at the press conference.
That was his quote.
Oh, when
that
they
was
hired
the initial
him?
Quote, yeah.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's going to happen overnight. Come on, guys. It's not going to happen overnight. This is a league, man. You got to give guys 3-4 years to really get their foot and get their players in to really see if you can change something. Mm. Now, you may come up with a Sean McVay, because I know that's the greatest example that everybody has right
everybody
now.
Everybody loves him.
You may, maybe not.
Lima's got his compression shorts in his mouth. I mean, he loves him. He loves him.
What about my other name?
What?
My other guy. Knows the AFC North?
Oh, well.
He's won a Super Bowl.
There you go.
Tomlin? Knows Jimmy has him. If Mike Tomlin gets fired at the end of
Mike
the year,
Tomlin.
would you take him
I'm
in a second?
I'm throwing a parade. Let's be clear.
I don't know. Would people really disagree with you about something like that? That you brought that up yesterday?
Some immediately did. He only won because of Big Ben and Antonio Brown.
Yeah, quarterback couches will. Of course.
I would drive him here myself.
I'm telling you, it's a parade. We're going second line.
Let me get to Tom in the car. Tom, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Tom.
Jonathan, how are you defending a guy?
Once again, I'm not defending. Listen.
He's won one game in 2 years. The worst in the history of the NFL.
Okay, do you think he had talent to win a game? Win games. I'm just asking. Did he show up with a bunch of talent on his plate? Or did he show
matter.
Up to the yard? It does matter. This is the NFL, bro. You know how hard it is to win
years?
A game? It's hard to win a game.
Oh my God.
I've been on a 2-14 team.
It sounds like you woke up this morning and had a bowl of CTE.
Oh, I do. I do have that. That's for sure. That's for sure. I do have that. I do have that. I do have that. That's good. I like that. I do. How did you know?
He went to the CTE. I will say, he did come in here with all sorts of issues with his wrists, his shoulders.
Oh, man, I messed up. Trust me, I'm crazy. You don't have to worry about that. I agree with you there. But you're still not going to flip me here. All I'm saying is, if the man comes and wins 8 games, he should have a chance to keep his job. Point blank, period. That's all I'm telling you. I'm not defending 1-31. I'm not defending that. But you had a terrible GM. He had no talent. He had nothing to work with. You can't see that, Stevie Wonder?
Rhonda, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Rhonda.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Rhonda. Go ahead.
We're good.
I am in total agreement with Jonathan. Total agreement. This city hates you. They hate Tyrod. Y'all need to get it together. Give these dudes a chance. I get it. One game in 2 years. But come on.
Well, Tyrod's only have one game. I'm more than willing to give Tyrod a chance, obviously. Hugh, I mean, good God, it's been 2 years, Rhonda.
This city hates you. They hate Tyrod. Baker going to get his chance. Get a better chance.
They don't want to hear that.
With Hugh, I don't know how much.
They don't want to listen.
You,
we woke up to the Super Bowl champs, bro. We woke up in Massachusetts. I forgot. This is not Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Peter and Shaker, you're next up on the fan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, viciously defended Hugh not getting fired this entire summer. I, even though a lot of people think that John Dorsey should have brought in his own guy, I think it was a great idea to keep Hugh on. I like Hugh. My expectations for the season were 5-11, and I personally think that if we go 5-11, we should keep Hugh and we should keep going. I completely blamed the lack of offense on Sunday on Todd Haley. What was with all the screen passes? What was with a draw play? At the 50-yard line after that interception by Denzel Ward, I was yelling awful things at the TV in Todd Haley's sake. It was ridiculous. It had nothing to do with you. I like you, and I think if we go 5-11, we should keep him.
Well,
Peter, thank you.
Unfortunately, 5-11, I don't think that gets it done around here. But, you know, I don't know. You know, at the end of the day, man, football is a team sport, and it takes the ownership, it takes general managers. Everybody has to play their part, point blank, period. You were blaming Hugh for the offense when he was calling the plays. Now you're blaming Hugh for the offense. He's not calling the plays. Listen, players got to make plays. Players have to make plays on Sundays. It's the only way you win. Coaches, stop it.
We got OSU-TCU coming up tomorrow. It's a 13-point spread right now, Tone. 13 points.
Yeah, it looks like it.
13-point spread. There's no juice for this game. It's just expected Ohio State's going to be in Texas, are going to beat the brakes off of TCU, Jonathan.
Listen, and we're going to address something real quick. Yes. Listen, if you're on Twitter and you're on, or you're calling to the show and you're asking for Beanie Wells, we're hanging up in your face off the top. Jonathan Wells, not Beanie. That's my little brother. I love him like my own bloodline, but get it together. Do your research. Top 10 when I left my school. Now let's get to the game.
The man's got facts. OSU-TCU. I don't know. There's not really can you TCU's got a decent defense, but do you really
good
have
offensive
any,
line, yeah. A decent defense, a quarterback who can definitely make plays, but they haven't played anything like this, and they struggled in their opener. They ended up blowing out in the opener, but they struggled for the good portion of the first half in their opener. But this is going to be a step up, and yeah, Urban Meyer's been coaching the team throughout the week, but it's still going to be Ryan Day there on the sidelines for his first big matchup.
Yeah. Me personally, I didn't start my Ohio State clock until this week. I don't know who we are. I don't know anything. I know we have an explosive, you know, offense. I know our quarterback is looking much better than I expected him to look. I get all of that. But now you're going to be talking about playing against a top five defensive coach in America. TCU is a freaking track team. They can make big plays. Mm-hmm. I saw guys from Oregon State run away from our defensive backs like they were running in quicksand. So I'm not just thinking that this is going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a really competitive game. But obviously, the Buckeyes pull it out all day.
Well, Jonathan, that hour moved fast. Lima, you have anything to add?
That was pretty good. Hold on. Are you good? Is your parking meter running?
Listen, I can stay. It's nothing. I got nothing but smoke for everybody who wants the smoke.
Okay.
All right, hold on. We'll get some more thoughts. We'll take some more calls. Jonathan Wells coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.